Hey there, since you're listening to Alt Latino, I think you'll really like NPR's newest podcast, Hidden Brain. On the latest episode, host Shankar Vedantam looks at the consequences of near misses and the surprising way those losses can motivate us. Plus, country singer Kacey Musgraves joins Shankar to talk about her new album and play a game of Mad Scientist. Don't miss it. Listen now on the NPR One app, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino, and I'm Rita Moreno.
Brasil, tierra buena y hermosa, de morena graciosa, de mirada indiscreta. Verde queda para el mundo admirar el Brasil de mi amor, tierra de nuestro Señor.
In the 5.5 years we've been doing this show, we've talked to many people. And today we're going to talk to an iconic, legendary artist who not only has an amazing body of work, but has also paved the way for so many who came after her.
Oh, gosh, I thought you were going to say an amazing body, period. I'm slightly disappointed.
there's definitely that.
Wasn't that a good start?
That's a very good start.
We are celebrating the release of Rita Moreno's new album, and we're starting the show with one of our favorite tracks from that album. Rita, this is Brasil, right?
Oh, yes, I love this. Now, this is a number I've been doing in my concerts for years and years. There are three things in the album that are things that I have been doing for a long time. And this is absolutely one of my favorites, too.
We have a lot of stuff to talk about, and we're so excited to have you here. And I guess we want to start with the new album. It's produced by Emilio Estefan, and it's an impressive collection of styles. And it just always, no matter what you're playing on the album, it always sounds like Rita Moreno. So how did this album come about?
I was at an event, and I saw Emilio Estefan across the room, and I had never met him. It's a couple of years ago. And I went across the room and I put out my hand and I said, "Hello, I'm Rita." And before I could finish my name, he says, "You got to do an album with me." You can imagine that I was like, "Excuse me? ¿Cómo?" And he says, "I just saw you." He didn't say, "I just saw you." He says, "I just saw you." on the Screen Actors Guild Awards, and you were being honored with the Lifetime Achievement Award, and you sang a cappella. You sang without an orchestra, and you have a wonderful voice, and I want you to do it. You have to leave this as a legacy. And he went on and on. I have admired you. He must have talked for 5 minutes. And I'm there just holding his hand, and we're shaking hands, and I'm listening. And then he said, "I will call you," because he had to do something. And that was it. And I thought, well, yeah, let's see if he calls. Within a week, he was on the phone and prattling on about this album. And he was so excited. And you do want to do it, don't you? And I said, oh, yeah. Oh, all in Spanish, by the way, all in Spanish. And we did. He sent me tracks about 2 weeks later of about 24 songs. And he says, pick what you like. And we'll include, you know, the things that you love so much that you've been doing for so long, and which was one of which was you just played Brazil, and I chose numbers, I sent them on to him. We found keys for the proper keys for those songs, and we were off and running. It was crazy.
You have a new role in an upcoming animated show. You just hosted a very important gala celebration in Washington, D.C. You snuck in a quick performance at a recent release party in New York City. Are you a workaholic? Are you one of those people that just always has to be working?
You know, really not. Actually, I'm the most tired Puerto Rican you've ever met right now. Muy cansada. No, that is not my thing. But I know that I want more than anything in the world for this album to be have some kind of success. It doesn't have to be Taylor Swift. I have nothing like that in mind, and I don't think that would happen anyway. But I would love it to do well.
Okay, let's take a music break right now, and one of the tracks that you say you're very, very fond of. This is a vocal interpretation of the Joaquin Rodrigo classic, Aranjuez.
Junto a ti. Al pasar las horas, oh mi amor, hay un rumor de fuentes de cristal que en el jardín parece hablar en voz baja a las rosas. Esas hojas secas sin color que barre el viento son recuerdos de romances de un ayer, huellas de promesas hechas con amor. En Aranjuez, entre un hombre y que siempre se recuerda. Thank you.
once you get to the level that you're at, you're a legend, you're a household name. I mean, you've produced iconic work. What drives you when you're doing something like an album? I mean, you can't get more famous. You can't get more iconic.
But you know,
does your drive change?
No, well, I've never done an album in Spanish, ever, ever. Mm. And I've certainly never had it done by a producer like Emilio, who has the most commercial ear in the world. And if there's any chance that this album will do well, it will have everything to do with him. He's one heck of a promoter. Oh, my God. He was at the event last night where we presented, where I performed two songs from the album for a number of people here in New York in a beautiful room at the St. Regis Hotel. And he was there. Interestingly, even though he's younger, he's like my papi.
How's that?
And I told him, I said, I'm really nervous about this. And he reassured me in the most wonderful way. He said, I will not let one bad note go by, Rita. He said, I will protect you at every moment of these sessions. I will take care of you. You will be so happy with the result. You'll say, is that me? He says, I will take care of you. Now that is so reassuring.
Okay, let's hear another track from the album. This was called Cuando Despierto.
Oh, isn't that marvelous?
Yes.
That's a bachata.
Sí. Esta noche puedo ver cómo vienes hacia mí con tu luz en la penumbra. Sé que me embriago en tu calor y que el frío se hace ardor cuando tus velas me alumbran. Y te diré, recuérdame con calma en tu pudor. Y cuando estés amando, cuando te estén besando, cuando te estés mordiendo aquel orgullo triste y tuyo. Cuando despierto, me abrazo en tu mirar y vuelven a pasar las hojas del otoño con el viento. Cuando despierto, me cuesta abrir mi voz. Me imagino a los dos guardando en sobres todos los recuerdos y decirte quiero ser tu prisionera, amarte con un corazón de acero. Sale mal, no te voy a perdonar si es que acaso tú me culpas. Sé que si canto esta canción, por lo menos las heridas con palabras se me curan. Y te diré, recuérdame con calma en tu pudor. Y cuando estés amando, cuando te estén besando, cuando te estés mordiendo aquel orgullo triste tuyo, cuando despierto.
Why didn't you do a Spanish language album before, at any point during your career?
You know, it's such a simple answer. Nobody asked me.
Huh. Wow.
Nobody asked me. And people have said, well, why don't you do Spanish films? Nobody has asked me. It's that simple. I guess I'm associated with American show business.
I picked up your biography, which is really, really good. It's really
honest and straightforward.
I picked it up.
You.
I was visiting a very close friend, a Puerto Rican friend who lives in the Bronx, and she had it lying on her bedstand. And I picked it up, and I couldn't let it go. It was like reading fiction, but it's your life.
It's a page. Some people have said to me, "It's a page turner."
A page turner, actually. And you know, something that that I was thinking about as I read it. You know, I looked up when Puerto Ricans were granted U.S. citizenship, and it was about 20 years before you were born. And that's a big shift. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about coming
to
the
U.S. Well, you know, when I came to America, the Puerto Rican diaspora had not happened yet.
Exactly. That's why it's so interesting.
So when my mommy brought me to this country, it was New York, there were very few. There was no such thing as a real Latino section. There was the Bronx, where all kinds of immigrants came. And I remember, I mean, it was memorable because when she left me at kindergarten in a public school, there wasn't one child who spoke Spanish who was Latino. There were very few kids, at least in my neighborhood, who spoke Spanish, who were of Hispanic descent. So it was very lonely for quite a while.
There's a track on your album that deals with memories and childhood and loss of innocence. It's called El Mar Que Llevo Adentro.
Mis recuerdos van conmigo cuando quiero y sin querer que no piensen que me olvido de mi tierra alguna vez y es el mar que llevo adentro. Aquel mar de mi niñez que hoy aún me está doliendo, cómo duele lo que quieres y no lo puedes tener.
In your book, you write about the racism you encountered as a young Puerto Rican girl growing up in New York in the 1930s.
I was getting called Spick when I was like 5 years old, 6 years old, on my way to school. I didn't even know what the word meant, but the face, the expression on the face that said that word told me that that person did not like me. And I remember thinking, but they don't know me.
Did you ask your mom what it meant?
I never told her.
Really?
I never told her. I just intuitively felt that there was just nothing she could do about that. And I never, ever told her about all those tribulations on the way to school, on the way back. Never, never told her. I just had a feeling that she was as much a victim as I was in her
work. Right now there's such a New Yorican identity, you know? There's such a strong New Yorican identity that didn't exist when you got here.
No, it didn't. You were just not very welcome when you came to this country, as many other nationalities were not welcome. And, you know, some have never gotten over it. The Jews still have a problem, and the black community has problems with that, and the Latinos also. But we do have a very strong presence. We are obviously getting on our high horse and saying, hey, I have value, I have worth, and I bring a lot to this country from my country. And we do.
In your book reflects that sense of identity, that sense of Latino identity, almost from the beginning.
Well, you know, but the thing is, when I realized how despised we were, I did not want to be a Hispanic girl. I did not want to be Puerto Rican. I wanted desperately to be Elizabeth Taylor, who became my icon because there were no Latina role models at that time. There was nothing.
That's something you say in your biography, that when you go to the West Side Story audition, you pretended you were Elizabeth Taylor because you had no other role model. I mean, That sounds really devastating, actually.
Well, it is. And, you know, it's feeling so feeling that I was so inferior had, you know, terrible consequences. And among them, the fact that I thought I would have to, for the rest of my life, speak with an accent whenever I was acting in a role, because that's how they saw us. And it eventually drove me into psychotherapy, which is probably one of the wisest and most positive things I've ever done in my life. I was in psychotherapy for about 8 years. And actually, interestingly, it was my boyfriend, Marlon Brando, who said, "You have problems."
Marlon Brando's
telling me that I have problems. Well, of course, he was right. And he said, "You really need to see somebody." And I did. I found someone. And luckily, I found the first person I went to see was the person I stayed with for 8 years.
Okay, let's take a music break right now.
Great.
Which one do you want to hear?
Do you have Monte Adentro?
I have Monte Adentro. Yes, I do.
Let's do that one. That's the jolly one. I love that. That's me.
You did that?
Monte Adentro. Monte adentro, allá donde muere el viento, donde se baña la luna, y el cielo es azul del cielo,
donde el hombre conserva su palabra y solo vive del amor sincero, donde todo se te queda ya en el alma y se enamora el mundo entero, donde se respetan las promesas y se valoran las palabras, en la melilla la gente se besa y sin envidia con amor se abraza. Es el lugar.
Take a quick break from this fabulous music from Rita Moreno to remind you to check out NPR's newest podcast, Hidden Brain. You can find it on the NPR One app, iTunes, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Now let's get back to Rita's music. Such a great record.
Isn't that marvelous?
It's really
I love that
record.
So when I first heard that, because I heard it with an orchestra, with singers, and I said, oh, I'm definitely doing that one. I just love that. And it's not, you know, it's not a salsa.
It's a, no, it's a Puerto Rican bomba.
Oh. Is that a bomba?
Yep.
Oh, listen to you. Es una bomba.
Una bomba. It's a Puerto Rican bomba. From the country.
That's right. It's a country song.
there's this song that you sang in West Side Story, I Want to Be in America, right?
Uh-huh.
And you talk about in Puerto Rico, there's hurricanes and there's this.
Buying on credit is so nice.
One look at us and they charge twice.
I have my own washing machine.
What will you have though to keep clean?
Skyscrapers bloom in America. Cadillacs zoom in America. Industry boom.
12 in a room in America.
Lots of new housing with more space.
Lots of doors slamming in our face.
I'll get a terrace apartment.
Better get rid of your accent.
Life can be bright in America.
If you can fight in America.
Life is all right in America.
If you're all white in America.
My character is the one who complains all the time. And you know what's interesting?
Was that you talking?
Oh, hell no.
How you felt?
Hell no. Are you serious? In fact, I was really nervous about singing the verse of that because the verse of that in the Broadway show is Stephen Sondheim rewrote it for the movie because it says, Puerto Rico, island of tropic diseases.
You're kidding.
And no. Not at all.
In the Broadway show.
Yeah, well, that's her character.
Right.
Because I always wondered if you were uncomfortable singing that as
No, I was not uncomfortable singing it because they fixed it. She just has an opinion that America's better than Puerto Rico.
Sure.
But there's nothing about it that is as horrible as that one line, island of tropic diseases. Holy mackerel. So when I got the part for the movie, I was a bundle of nerves until I found out that it was requested of Stephen Sondheim that he take that harshness out of it. And they did. But what she sings is, my character sings, Puerto Rico, my heart's devotion, let it sink back in the ocean.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
You know, that's her feeling about Puerto Rico versus America. No, that didn't bother me because that's how she felt. That's how a lot of Puerto Ricans feel.
Some of those social issues that it took on, I mean, looking back on it, you know, I think it's always important to remember that you got to judge a movie like this or a work of literature or anything like that in the context of when it was written and the times.
Right, right, and because the dialogue right now is kind of very dated.
Just so that we can remember, that was the lyrics were by Stephen Sondheim. The music was, of course, Leonard Bernstein, and the book was written by Arthur Lorentz.
That's right, and wow. You know, I just saw it recently on the big screen, and it's still fabulous.
When you did the movie and you won the Academy Award for it, it set a trail, it blazed a trail for a lot of actresses of color.
Except for me. I had won the Oscar, and I had won, because a lot of people forget, the Golden Globe, which is the Foreign Press Award for Best Featured Actress. And I thought, oh, man, this is, wow, I'm going to get a lot of work. I was only offered a few very small gangland-type movies. That's it. And I tucked my Oscar and my Golden Globe under each arm, and I said, I'm not doing that stuff anymore because it was like bad versions of West Side Story, just gangland movies. And I said, that's it. I'm not going to do that anymore. I want to stop speaking with an accent. I mean, most of my friends, Puerto Rican friends, nobody speaks with an accent anymore because they were brought up here, for Pete's sake. Anyway, I showed them. I didn't do a movie for 7 years.
Did you ever think of getting out of acting?
Oh, it broke my heart. It absolutely broke my heart that I had these two astonishing honors in my house. I now call it hardware. And nobody would put me in a part that didn't require an accent and more dark makeup. It was just, I was truly, truly heartbroken. So I just did what I had to do. I did a lot of theater. I did a lot of summer theater as well, summer stock. I did television and did what I could. And I was always convinced, by the way, that somehow, someday, someone would say, this person has talent, and I am going to put her in this film or this TV show.
So after the drought of 7 years, and then you started doing these other
I did a movie with Alan Arkin called Papi.
I really have always loved that movie.
Isn't that a great movie?
You know, it's such an unheralded, fine piece of work.
I know. Oh, I'm so glad you said that. That should have been nominated, that movie. I thought that Alan was just, well, he's a brilliant actor. And the story it tells, that this desperate father, because the children are treated so poorly in his neighborhood, puts his boys on a boat and sets the boat adrift so that, a rowboat, so that they will be discovered and they will be mistaken for Cuban refugees.
And his character is Puerto Rican.
And his character is Puerto Rican. And, you know, nowadays they would have put a Latin actor in that part.
Sure.
But in the meantime, it was a great movie. And the kids are mistaken for kids from Cuba. And everybody, they get into the newspapers, they get feted with ice cream and treated like little kings and all that. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
It's a
small little gem. I've always appreciated that movie a lot.
I'm so glad. That's the first movie I made after 7 years.
There's a song on your new album that is about unrequited love, which to me could also be a reflection of how Hollywood really didn't notice your gifts as an actress. It's called Punto de Referencia.
Me fui con la corriente de tu amor, como barco a la deriva en tempestad, sin rumbo, navegando por el mar de tu querer. Mi barco naufragó, en tu corazón de piedra encallé, como un ancla en mi alma está enterrado tu adiós. Encallé escuchando de tu boca lindos versos, como sirena y uno de los mares de tus cuentos. En mis lágrimas me ahogué, el dolor pesado es cuando sabes que tu amor no es correspondido. Reforcé el mástil con fe y zarpé a un destino incierto, esperanzada por hallar aquel cariño que me nutra con la miel de amor puro y fiel que solo en sueños pude imaginar cuando era niña. El arrecife de tu amor ya está marcado, una huella en mi alma has dejado, iluminada de sufrir, faro que he puesto allí para que sirva como aviso para mí. Y es que tu amor es punto de referencia, la tormenta cuando volverá a pasar, sonará una alerta que sirva de advertencia para todo aquel que quiera navegar, para todo aquel como yo que se vuelve a enamorar.
Let's talk about your role, the voice role of Abuelita in the upcoming animated show Nina's World.
This is a really wonderful series because it's very different from other children's shows in the most positive way. Number one, it's not full of noise, which overstimulates children. It's not filled with special effects. Nobody talks in a funny little voice like that. It's just very authentic. Nina is a little six-year-old Mexican-American child with a family who loves her, who lives in a very diverse neighborhood. And what Sprout, the producing company, has done for this is to make it seriously diverse. In other words, when you have an East Indian couple doing voices, you have an actual East Indian actors with their wonderful, I love those accents.
Sure.
We have a Chinese family, a husband and a wife. He's a veterinarian, she's the principal of the school, and they are Chinese people. But what takes the diversity to a new plane, and that's what finally won me over, there's a little character in this show called Nico. And Nico is deaf, completely deaf. He is played by a completely deaf child. And this little boy, I met him recently, and he reminds me of the little boy in Jerry Maguire. Remember that adorable child?
Yeah.
With the glasses. Well,
Jonathan Lipnicki.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And this little boy has glasses, too, and a great sense of humor. And he reads lips expertly. He signs. And never having heard a sound in his life, this little boy speaks. And he speaks the part in the show.
Wow.
And yes, he is intelligible. I don't know how he does that. He's never heard a sound in his life.
When does the show start?
The 26th.
Can we try something real quick before we...
Yeah.
We've got a little bit extra time, so I wanted to do, instead of a word association, just sort of a sound association, because I've pulled some clips, some favorite stuff of mine, and then play a little bit of it, and then just give me the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
Okay? So let's see. Okay, this one here.
I had a dream. A dream about Joe, baby. It's gonna come true, baby. They think that we're through, but...
baby. That's me. That's Gookie Gomez.
It's from the movie... The Ritz, which was a Broadway play before that.
That is the most hilarious character. You know what's interesting? I actually invented her. She was born one day on the set of West Side Story. When dancers take a break, the first thing they do is light a cigarette, believe it or not. And they still do that. And then they do bits just to break each other up, to relieve some of the nervous tension, because dancers work like beasts.
Sure.
Anyway, I invented her one day. I said, okay, here's this Puerto Rican girl who has absolutely no talent, who's auditioning for a bus and truck of Gypsy. And she just came out. You know, it's like I gave a burp and out came this hilarious, untalented, arrogant Puerto Rican woman who kept thinking, Barbara Streisand stole my act.
When you do her and you do that accent,
yeah.
Were you channeling someone? I mean, did you have someone in mind that inspired you?
A lot of the accent was my mommy's. My mommy said some pretty funny things, which I can't say on the air because they come out bad words. But and there were a number of Latino people whom I saw. But what I love about her is that she is so arrogant. She doesn't have a clue that she has no talent whatsoever. She can't sing, she can't dance, so she calls herself a singer and a dancer.
Right.
I mean, she's hilarious. And it just takes me back right away to Peter Sellers, who always was very serious when he did his comedy, and that's what had us falling down on the floor. I think that's what's funny about Googie. She is sincere beyond belief. She's absolutely sincere.
It's that deadpan.
I had a drink.
It's a great character in a pretty madcap movie. It was
movie. I love her. I just think she's the funniest thing. And every once in a while, I still talk like her when I'm by myself. and I break myself up. Like, you know, I'll suddenly think of something that would sound funny when she does it. Like, Shine on Harvest Moon. I ain't had no loving since January, February. You know you lie. It's no time. And I break myself up at home like an idiot. Or, oh, sake and juicy. By the long zelly lie.
I'm in Miami right now, and that feels that resonates.
Of course it does. Yeah. Of course. I remember I had a friend who had a father who just thought that he had failed in life, the kid, the boy. I feel like he says, get out of here, you bong. He meant bum. You're just a bong. Poor boy, he got put into Yale. And people think, Yale? Really? Oh, yes.
It's so funny.
I kind of miss her. I mean, I think in my heart of hearts, I'm really a character actress. But one thing, I do love to make people laugh.
Let me play something else for you. And okay. we're gonna. I know you said you like to make people laugh, but there's something else, too, that reminded me of you that I saw. When Viola Davis won her Emmy.
Oh.
Did you see her speech?
No, I was working.
I'm going to play it for you.
And what a classy gal she is.
In my mind, I see a line. And over that line, I see green fields and lovely flowers and beautiful white women with their arms stretched out to me over that line. But I can't seem to get there no how. I can't seem to get over that line. That was Harriet Tubman in the 1800s.
Oh, my. And let me tell you something. Oh, my. I heard the last part of it, but I had not heard the first part, which is killing. That is just killing. She has such dignity, this actress.
When I saw it, I immediately thought of you. Because
you did. You
said, yeah, because she said, the other part she says was, you can't win an Emmy if the roles aren't there.
If the roles aren't there. Now you have to go look me up on YouTube and see my acceptance speech for Screen Actors Guild.
I have part of it. It's a very, very powerful. And this was my favorite part of it.
As I approach the prime of my life, I find I have the time of my life, learning to enjoy at my leisure all the simple pleasures, and so I happily concede. This is all I ask. This is all I need.
Beautiful.
Oh, I was beginning to get teary there. Oh. And that's what that long pause was about. And I said, don't you dare cry. Don't you dare.
That brings us full circle, because that's the clip that Emilia Stefan heard on the air.
Yeah.
And it got you to the new album. It's
a great song. And it starts with, as I approach the prime of my life, I find I have the time of my life. Yeah.
It reflects perfectly on where you look back now on 80 plus years.
Mm-hmm. It does. I use it all the time when I end my shows in concert, when I do concerts. That's how I end the show, with that song. It's an amazing song because it exactly describes where I am right now and have been for some time.
Rita Moreno, thank you so much for joining us today.
Let me just say that this is one of the best interviews I have done.
Oh, wow.
But the two of you just did your homework.
That was probably the
highest,
most sincerest compliment. We've ever received, and we really thank you for that.
Well,
that
you can believe me. It's sincere and from my heart. You were just wonderful.
I'm going to quit
thank
now.
So
my career, I'm done.
Mic drop.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really wish you success on the album. It's a great album. Can't wait for the rest of the world
I'm hopeful that my people will buy it. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you so much,
Rita
Morena.
Thank you.
Okay. Adiosito.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Adios. Ciao.
Okay, we're going to end the show with a track from the new album that I think has a special meaning for our entire conversation today. It's called Volverás, or You Will Return.
Pensé que fueras a dejarme. Dices que te has vuelto a enamorar. Que no sientes ya.
We want to remind you that you can hear the tracks we've played from Rita Moreno's new album in their entirety on our website at npr.org/altlatino.
And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We are NPR's Alt Latino. I am a very ecstatic Jasmine Garst.
And I'm even more over the moon over Rita Moreno. I'm Felix Contreras.
Te vas a arrepentir y tendrás que regresar. Exige, se da. Y si tu amor no es el de para siempre, entonces quiero saberlo ya. No te vale nada mi cariño, solo te sirvió para jugar. Pero sé que al fin te vas a arrepentir tendrás que regresar. En tu alma siempre serás mío, aunque te enamores otra vez. No podrás borrar esos recuerdos de mis caricias.